Here's another chapter of Double Play with DeRosier and Day. Welcome to another visit with baseball's most exciting and controversial couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRosier, with their guest for today, Charlie Dressen. And as we join them, Charlie Dressen, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, and Leo DeRosier, manager of the New York Giants, seem to be having a slight difference of opinion.
I know one thing, Charlie. You stole many a sign from us last summer.
Hey, you two, will you stop arguing? Come on, Leo, bring Charlie over here. I'd like him to meet our baseball fans.
Well, Lorraine, after all, what do you expect when the managers of the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers get together? But here's something that neither one of them can argue about. And now back to Leo and Lorraine and their guest for today, Charlie Dressen. Baseball seasons come and go, but baseball fans will never stop talking about the climax of the 1951 National League pennant race and Bobby Thompson's mighty home run, which brought the championship to the Giants. It'll always be a favorite topic of conversation for baseball managers, too, especially Charlie Dressen, who suspects Leo DeRosier of using witchcraft.
Friends, I'd like you to meet Charlie Dressen, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Hello, baseball fans.
Listen, Charlie, what was all that argument going on over there at the bar?
Well, I was trying to find out what Leo did to our Dodgers. And another thing I wanted to find out, when he called Bobby Thompson up in the ninth inning and he hit that home run in that last game that, you know, decided the playoff, I wanted to find out what he told him.
You mean you haven't heard about McPherson McTavish?
What is he, a bullpen catcher?
Charlie, come on over and sit down. Leo, I want you to tell Charlie about McPherson McTavish.
Well, Charlie, on Tuesday, 6 days before the close of the season, I received a letter, and all it had on it was the signature, McDougal McPherson McTavish. And it started out by saying, this is a prophecy. And he went on to say that come the close of that night, we would be one game out of first place. Well, if you recall, we were 2.5 out when we started, and you lost a doubleheader, we won. He was right. We picked up a game and a half, we're only one game out. He said that on Friday, we would be one game behind for the National League pennant. And if you remember, you had lost two games while we weren't playing, so we were tied. He also said in the middle of the letter, on September 31st,
no,
you will...
September 30th. There are only 30 days in September.
Well, on September 30th, anyway, it was the last day of the season, you will win the National League pennant. And who's going to do it? In parenthesis, nobody but Bobby Thompson. Signed, McDougal McTavish McPherson.
McPherson McTavish.
Whatever it is, it's three Scotsmen, I know that. So I just said to myself, this is pretty good, and I showed it to Bobby Thompson, and he laughed, and I kept the letter in my pocket. And when you brought Brank in, I said to Bobby, Bobby, what did Brank throw you in Brooklyn when you hit the home run off him? He says, I don't know, a skip or a curve or a fast. And I said, look, I think he's going to start you off with a fast one. I says, and be ready. I said, don't take anything. If the ball's over there, go to Belton. He says, okay. And you remember, Charlie, he took the first one.
That's right.
Right down through the middle, and then he threw him another fast one, and maybe it was high inside, I don't know, but he hit the home run. Well, now, that's been in my mind ever since, Charlie. And McTavish?
Well, maybe I can get him, say, for next year to tell me who to bring in the from the bullpen.
What do you mean? You want him to make your selections?
Well, if he's going to do that for you, why not do it for me?
Well, look, let me ask you one question, Charlie, and this is a good time now that you brought that up. There's been a lot of second-guessing going on. I've been asked the question a number of times, and I know you have also. Why did you relieve with Branca in the playoff game? Why didn't you bring in Levine? Why didn't you pitch Rowe?
I think we should clear up why people are saying, why did you bring in Branca? Because in the first game of the playoff, Bobby Thompson had hit a home run off Branca.
He hit the first one. And then Irwin hit the second one. That was in the first game. It beat us 3-1. Two home runs beat us. He pitched a four-hit game.
Right.
Branca did.
Yes.
King is my number one relief pitcher, and he's a little frail fellow. You had him there. He was just a school kid when you had him, and I coached there. He hadn't did any good in the last 5 weeks. He wasn't very effective, but I couldn't use him. I pitched Levine the day before. Of course, everybody said, why don't you put him in, because he shut you out the day before.
Say he did 10 or nothing.
And before the game started, I talked to Rowe, and I said, Preacher, I said, do you think you could go two innings today? He said, Charlie, if I had one more day's rest, I'd be all right. As you know, he pitched on Sunday, and he only had 2 days' rest, and he has to have four.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't pitch him with three. Sometimes I give him six. So the three fellows I had in the bullpen, I had Erskine down there if something happened early for the long man, and I had Levine down there to pitch to one hitter, a fellow that I thought maybe couldn't hit a curve so good. So the fact, of course, fans don't know that. Well, Branca, who had a rest And the season's over, and like that, as you know, it don't hurt a pitcher to go in with one after he's had one day's rest. So I have Clyde King, who you know, the coach, and Leo knows.
You mean Clyde Superth.
Yeah. In the bullpen, and he runs my bullpen, and I do it by telephone.
He's a very good coach.
That's
too.
Right.
Wonderful coach.
And he's a very good man. And we did it all year, so I called down and I said, Clyde, what about it? He says, Branca's got a real fastball. Well, I said, that's good enough for me. So we selected Branca. Probably, there's only one thing, maybe if I'd have stayed on the mound and said, I'll just fire the ball. As we were talking before, and I told you that we tried to figure it out in Brooklyn when you was managing as coach, and sometimes he'd throw a ball with the same motion, it'd be very fast, and next time he'd throw the same ball with the same motion, it wouldn't have as much on it. Well, I found out what he does. But I couldn't tell him. It was too late. The ball was gone, as you just said before. You told Thompson he hit the first ball. He pitched the first ball, but it had so much speed on it, was by him.
That's right.
And I think it was right in his groove. It was
really inside. Was. It was right in his alley.
So I know what he tried to do in the next, and he tried to lay it to his weakness, and I don't think he had as much on the ball. And when he released it, there it went. Goodbye. And there went the Brooklyn
and
Dodgers.
Thank goodness. And while I have both of you here, I would like to sort of get this big rhubarb settled all about this bean ball.
The newspaper men generally started that any time a ball gets close to a fella, it's a bean ball. Leo played and I played, and if the fella's a low ball hitter like I was, and he was too, you try to pitch high to him, and we all know that you can't throw that ball where you want to, and if you try to pitch high inside the fella, it might get 6 inches this way, which is pretty dangerous. I don't think any pitcher ever tried to hit a fella in the head, and I know as a manager, I never told any fella that one of my pitchers to do it, and I know I coached for Leo, and I know he didn't do it when he was in Brooklyn, and I don't think he does it with the Giants.
There's always going to be rivalry between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants for that simple reason, that our pitchers want to win so badly, the same as your pitchers want to beat us. And we try to get the ball to your hitter's weaknesses. And there are times when you are going to be brushed back. I think that's part of the game.
Then, in other words, you would say that this big bean ball feud between our two clubs was played up mostly in the newspapers.
I would say so, Lorraine.
Well, that settles that.
I think it has to. I think that they make a lot out of nothing.
Well, now wait a minute, Leo.
Yes, wait a minute, fellas. Let's take time out for this timely message. Well, the rhubarb is still going on, and Dressen still isn't satisfied that the 1951 Giants were the better team. All that remains now is a comparison of the players, man for man. How about it, fellas?
I know you had a good ball club. Now, you can't tell me you didn't have a lot of luck attached to that last month and a half. Win 37 out of 44. After all, I think Hodges is a better first baseman than Lachman.
Oh, wait a minute, Charlie. Wait a minute. Now we can get into something. This is you and I. I don't know as I'd trade you Lachman for Hodges.
Well, you wouldn't.
Oh, maybe Hodges was picked on the All-Star Club and everything, but Lachman, I thought, come along great. And after all, he never played first base before. I think he did a good job there.
Well, you're going to tell me that Stanky's a better ball player than Robinson?
Well, now you might have me there right by the neck. I don't know that Robinson does everything. He liked to beat me himself. In fact, he did beat me most every game you played me. He's just a great ball player. But Stanky is a valuable guy in the ball club, too.
May I ask a question? May I ask if you were saying that Robinson, if they didn't have Robinson, Brooklyn wouldn't have beaten you again?
No, I don't mean it that way. I think Brooklyn's got some good ball players on their ball club. Naturally, they have. But I also think that Stanky was a great asset to my ball club. I mean, he, not only on the field, off the field, in the clubhouse, in the hotels, and talking to the players and things like that, Charlie.
Well, what about Reese now?
I brought Reese, you were with me. We brought Reese up at the same time, and I think he's a great player. In fact, he made me throw my glove away and quit. I think he's a great ball player. Dark had a great year. I don't know, Charlie. You can put a blanket over both those fellas now.
Well, the third baseman, of course, I'm not going to try to say that
now.
My boy can hit as much as
now.
You
do you think he's a better fielder?
I wouldn't trade my boy for anybody in the world after that hit he got
what
against
your
club.
What about that wonderful play that he made over at Brooklyn? Wasn't it a double play with Robinson
on
third?
Right, well,
I've never seen a play like that. That was great.
I had some fans tell me after they saw Cox play that last playoff game, they didn't even go to the World Series. They won't see anything like that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think there's a third baseman in baseball that can defend defensively at third base as good as he can. I think he's great.
Well, then, After all, I know that you got to say that we got the best right fielder. He only had 27 assists.
Well, he's quite a ball player. And that's one of the guys, too, that about the feud and everything else. About
Ferrillo.
The beanball. Never. Ferrillo got hit in the head. Jones hit him in the head. And I know darn well that Ferrillo thinks that Jones did it intentionally. And I think Carl still thinks to this day that I told him. Well, and you know that's not so. And I hope Carl gets that out of his mind, because it isn't so, Charlie. Now, about right field, pretty good.
Well,
of course, talk about Willie May.
Your center fielder is voted the Rookie of the Year, I understand. And he made a play against us that probably...
Oh,
well, of course,
great.
You know, it only took one game, and that play he made that day saved the game for you. But
great.
I said it was great. Of course, they misinterpret that, too.
Yeah, and they said that you'd like to see it done again.
Against me. I didn't want to see it done again.
Not against you. Charlie, you were saying that our team was very lucky. Well, I think a lot of the games that we lost to you in Brooklyn, that your team was very lucky. For instance, where Whitey was thrown out at home, you said that it took five perfect...
I was coaching at third base, and maybe, honey, I shouldn't have sent the man in. But they made perfect relays, and they did get him out, the same as Willie Mays did make the great catch and the perfect pivot and throw a strike to home plate to get Cox out on the play that Charlie's talking about. But he's got a center fielder, Duke Snyder. I don't know, every time I looked up, Snyder, home run, 28, 29. What did he hit this year?
Oh, he's 30.
30 home runs. He hits right at 300. I know that he slumped off towards the latter part of the season. But I know that he's quite a ball player and a great center fielder.
Well, as I said, you had a good club, but I had a good club, too. But you saw your club, and I saw the bad breaks that we had.
My players just made one remark. If they could only play the Brooklyn Dodgers again, we'd beat you.
Well, my player said, I hope we get to play the Giants again, too.
It's no use even trying to break this up. You know, it took them three extra days to decide the National League pennant. Anyway, it was wonderful being with you. And don't forget to write to me and tell me what you'd like to have us discuss. Okay? So long.
You've been listening to another chapter of Double Play with baseball's most exciting couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher. Today, Lorraine and Leo have as their guests Charlie Dressen. Join us when again it's time for Double Play with Leo DeRocher and Lorraine Day, plus another big-time guest star. Double Play is produced by Marty Martin, directed by Ted Neeland, and is a Martet production.